This is Joanna Schrader reporting for Domestic Fuel, and I'm with Brian Jennings, the Executive Vice President of the American Coalition for Ethanol. Brian, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Well, it appears that the environmental groups have had a heyday attacking the ethanol industry in the last couple of weeks, and today, actually, the Environmental Working Group came out with a report claiming that the ethanol industry has not helped consumers. Can you shed some light on what they're saying and actually what the truth is?
Sure. The level of... The level that the Environmental Working Group will stoop to in order to demonize corn ethanol continues to even amaze me. Their most recent allegation, Joanna, is that we've spent something like $17 billion on the ethanol tax credit in the last 4 or 5 years, and that no one has benefited from that. And so, as a consequence, we should abandon corn ethanol and walk away from it. And I think, you know, the thing that is really startling about the working group is that they want to get rid of corn ethanol today, but they obviously don't recognize, and they're irrational and unsophisticated, so they don't recognize that there is no alternative. And so if we got rid of corn ethanol today, the result wouldn't be some, you know, utopian new fuel that they come up with. It's going to mean more oil use, and it's going to mean more pain at the pump for consumers, and it's going to mean, frankly, more pollution. And so, you know, I'm struggling to understand what the working group is for. We clearly know they don't like farmers, and we know they don't like ethanol. But it would be interesting to discover what the working group is for, because up until this point, they seem not to have any solutions, just coming up with complaints.
So did the working group do their due diligence on the hundreds of billions of subsidies that the oil industry gets every years?
That's an excellent point, Joanna. And no, there was no comparison between what biofuels has received from the taxpayer and what fossil fuels have received from the taxpayer. As you know, there was a study based on some international data that about $500 billion has been provided to fossil fuel industries worldwide over the last several years. And so that, you know, what has been provided to ethanol pales in comparison. But the other thing that we've had to point out many times over is that there's a return on investment for what goes into ethanol. The tax credit has generated something like $8 billion in terms of gross domestic product and economic activity that goes back to the federal treasury, offsets the VTEC that's cost, you know, between $3 and $4 and $5 billion dollars per year. And the jobs that have been created, obviously, and that frankly are at risk if we don't extend this. I think there was a study that indicated about 112,000 jobs, American jobs, would be at risk if we don't extend this tax credit, very similar to what you've seen go on with biodiesel, but to a larger magnitude. So, you know, it's important that we respond to these pieces, and we worked with the corn growers and RFA and Growth Energy, and in fact all four groups issued a joint response this morning, and I'm glad that we did that.
So I'm just kind of curious too, you know, you look at some of these environmental organizations who are coming out and throwing their hands up about the oil spill, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico, yet at the same time they're claiming that ethanol has either doesn't have environmental benefits, you know, that it doesn't have economic benefits. I'm struggling personally with how it is that how they can actually say that.
Yeah, I agree, and I think some, and it's not fair to say everyone in the environmental community, because there are a lot of well-intentioned folks in the environmental community that understand we have to have practical solutions to the complicated problems that we have today, whether it's producing food or producing energy. And so this is not a blanket statement, because it'd be unfair to say that. But there are some within the environmental community that clearly are not about solutions. I think they're about raising money for their organizations, and they're about raising the profile of their organizations, and they're about throwing bombs. And they do that when, you know, they come out with these incredibly exaggerated studies that certainly draw press attention, but aren't supported by real-world data. And, you know, that's a disservice to the process, because if we're really interested in providing consumers with a cleaner fuel, with a more affordable fuel, then let's get in the game and work with the ethanol industry and others that are making a difference in that arena every single day. But if they just simply want to throw bombs, you know, I think we just got to push them out of the way and move forward.
And don't you don't you believe too, Brian, that, you know, we're looking down at these southern states, you know, a lot of fishermen are out of work, they don't know when they're going to come back. I mean, isn't the biofuels industry in general an opportunity to retrain some of these workers, you know, into an industry that this country needs?
Well, sure. I mean, you're right that some of the jobs that could be lost in the Gulf for literally years, it'll be a drag on the economy at a time when we can't afford to have more people at the unemployment line. And so, you know, if this country does fulfill the commitment it started with the RFS to move to 36 billion gallons of biofuel, to do some of the things, frankly, they need to do with wind and solar, to support corn-based ethanol and these next generations of biofuels, it will create a great opportunity for employment. That's absolutely right. These are high-skill jobs. They help people return to local communities and rural areas, and, you know, enough can't be said for the benefits there. But it's got to be a commitment by our policymakers that they're going to fulfill some of the promises that they began when we got the RFS. And that's why things like E15 are important, and moving beyond that and getting the tax credit extended. And so this is a real pivotal moment in time in Congress and with the Obama administration, and we've all got to be pressing them very hard to get some of these things done.
So you mentioned that you released this as a joint statement. Are you also working together to try to reach out to these environmental groups that, you know, to help educate them on, you know, really what the benefits of ethanol are?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's important. It's important to engage your opponents. And sometimes you find that your opponents become your ally. And, you know, each of the major groups, whether it's RFA or the Corn Growers or Growth Energy or ACE, we have different relationships with different, whether it's oil companies or petroleum marketers or environmentalists, folks in the livestock industry. And so it's our responsibility, absolutely, to reach out to them, to engage them, to identify where we can work together, build a stronger coalition. I'm glad you asked that. It is incumbent upon us to do that. And, you know, sometimes we do that with more success than we do at others. But it's really critically important to build a bigger coalition of support.
Great. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you very much.